Good morning, everyone. My name is Melika Akwebo.
Good morning, the Premier and your team. Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much for inviting us. Happy Monday. Chair, good morning. And also to members of the committee, Hanim Lila, the Director General.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. Marsha Causton, Head of Provincial Strategic Management.
Good morning, Chair and members. Yashina Pillay, Department of Community Safety.
Morning, Chair and members. Gideon Morris, Head of Department Community Safety.
Good morning, it's Amanda Diffel, Department of Community Safety.
Thank you. This is for the record to introduce yourself, everyone sitting in the back. Just come forward and speak into the mic, please.
Good morning, everyone. Kayla Murray, Minister of Vista spokesperson.
Morning, everybody. Zanel Mzugot, PMG.
Thank you. Members, welcome to the Standing Committee on the Premier and Constitutional Matters. There's been, as you all know, the Premier launched the Western Cape Safety Plan, and a few weeks ago I had a discussion with the Premier to present this plan, and we just had to find a date, and Member Dagmar also subsequently wrote to me requesting that for this plan to be presented, and this was the date we could find in the diary, that suits Parliament or consultation with the Programming Committee and with the Premier's office. On a very sad note, we've obviously seen that another police officer was slain yesterday, and we express our condolences to Sergeant Suma's family. This is the second one that's been killed in the last 2 weeks in the Western Cape, which made this this plan so much more important, because our men who are supposed to protect us are now being killed by these thugs and gangsters and criminal elements. So this plan is so much more important than we think, because it's not only for us as residents, but also for the people. There is the men in blue and the boots on the ground that are looking after us. And so I just want us just to have a minute of silence for these two officers that, by all accounts, are hardworking officers. Thank you. Thank you, members. I'll hand over to the Premier to start presenting his plan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I also maybe start by saying that it is I suppose, one of the worst parts of this job is when you visit families whose children have been murdered, or families where, as you say, police officers. I was thinking about Colonel Kay, and you know, someone who we work very closely with, who you walk the streets with, who, and but every single day, you know, 10, 11, 12 families go through this every single day in our region. Perhaps also, you know, and this plan has got a whole lot of measurements. The apex measurement of this plan is, how do we halve the murder rate? Our murder rate is out of the window. I mean, it is just unbelievable. I don't mean to see the facts, see some of the statistics, but it really is. It's crazy. If you look at South Africa's murder rate, if you look at the Western Cape's murder rate, and then if you have a look at some of the hotspot areas. So for example, South Africa, we're sitting at just over 30 per 100,000, just over 60 per 100,000 in the Western Cape. And if you go to a place like Nyanga or one of these 10 hotspot areas, it goes to 330 per 100,000. I mean, it's just the step change is just unbelievable. So the idea is, this plan is, how do we zoom in and focus on the APEX project, which is halving the murder rate? But of course, in a safety plan, you can't just have that one. You've got to understand why, and I think that's even more important for me, the long-term why and the change over a period. So to thank Minister Fritz for being here, the HMD and the team from DOCS, but also the part of the Premier, DG, Marshall, but because this might be seen as halving the murder rate and a blurring of national, provincial, and local competencies and mandates, and even intergovernmental mandates. So the Minister Fritz is the flag bearer because he's the Minister of Community Safety. But you'll see when I take us through the plan now, it's not about only boots on the ground, about policing, about building relationships, getting the conviction rates to change, halving the murder rate. It's about going to the causalities. It's about saying, and I mean, an example that I'm using a lot these days is that viral video of a young boy in Elsie's River and the way that he spoke to his teacher through the classroom window. And that's where it starts. It's, you know, you just know, if we can't intervene now and create an environment where that young boy gets the chance to play a meaningful role in society, he's already an abuser, so he's going to become a way worse abuser. His chances are of fast track to the gangs is almost a foregone conclusion. But in actual fact, that young boy, giving that young boy the right path, he becomes the entrepreneur of the future. He becomes the guy that actually becomes the positive South African. So that's what this is about. You speak about our police officers. On Monday evening, I was at Red Cross Children's Hospital. Two young boys in the hospital, 11 years old, both shot. 11. I mean, you know how small 11 is. Both shot. The hospital's dilemma is they can't put the two boys in the same ward. They've got to be put on different floors in different wards, and they can't even let it be known which ward that boy is in, because both boys belong to gangs, opposing gangs. And each boy shot each other. And these boys are 11. These are children. And the system is pushing people into that space because these gangsters who live in the leafy suburbs, who, you know, send their kids to private schools, and their 11-year-olds go to private schools. Their 11-year-olds are not sitting with the kind of pressure that many of our other 11-year-olds are under. In actual fact, their system is driving the crime to those 11-year-olds because we know that our criminal justice system will treat an 11-year-old differently to an 18-year-old. So it's part of the system. And so how do we break the system? And so that's what this plan is about. And you know, it's even just in the plan and putting it together, it's like a roller coaster ride. But yeah, I also want to say that I think yesterday there was a little bit of confusion, and I apologize for that. I think somebody asked whether I was doing a PowerPoint presentation, and then it got out that there wasn't a presentation or something like that. I apologize. I want to say that the Western Cape Safety Plan, this working document, it is, when you go onto the Western Cape Government website, it is like the first flash that comes up. So it is totally available to everybody. But of course, you must understand that when the election came in May, and you know, you go through the strategic processes of Bosberaad, planning manifestos, putting plans in place, getting government processes, and then aligning them to budgets, we are still in that process. So this plan has to find traction in this plan, which is the Provincial Strategic Plan 2019-24, which we all have to produce, every province and South Africa, and of course, that's your five-year plan. And I asked the DG this morning, this plan goes live on the website, I think on the 3rd. But of course, if you go into this plan, so in this plan, and I'll start here, and of course this is still being workshopped. We took it to all the mayors and the municipal managers, PCF. And you'll see in the vision where a safe Western Cape where everyone prospers. And you'll see vision inspired number one, which is about safety and cohesive communities. You can see how it becomes the whole of government. Because this is not a DOCS plan. This is a government plan. And of course, this plan, landing this plan in the system, and we're still only part of that process. So the adjustment budget talks to actually probably more clarity than it even should talk to, because in actual fact, we've only gone through our first rounds of MTEC in budgets, and departments are under pressure. So we've got a plan, and you've got politicians saying, drive this plan. Then we've got national government saying, there's no money, you've got to cut back. And then we've got the MTEC processes saying, all right, we now need to review those budgets, cut money out, etc. But government is really serious about the safety plan. So you can see in the adjustment budget, more so than in any other area, you'll see actual numbers being put on the table that actually talk about the years ahead and the spending, which is the first start of the safety plan spending. And we have to do this because we've got to go through a process of putting the boots on the ground. 1,000 days for the Department of Health, they are still busy working on it. How's it going to happen in those 10 areas? 10,000 families have got to be reached. And you will also see when I speak to this, you'll see some departments have actually got numbers and others are still working through their numbers because they've got major pressure on those departments for cutting their budgets because there's insufficient revenue income as a country. So we're living in a very disruptive time, especially from planning, doing your five-year plan, putting these plans. I want to maybe say and use this opportunity to say to the officials that are here, but also via the officials that are here, thank you very much for the work that you guys are putting in. And I mean, it is sometimes 5 and 6 meetings a week just on the safety plan, because there's different partners, and they're different partners, like the City of Cape Town, which is a very key partner, and that needs proper detailed business plans, how the money's going to be spent, where, by when, who does what, right down to, you know, these officers have got to have the boots, they've got to have the training, they've got to have a firearm, they have a place where they report. I mean, these are complex things that have got to be decided on as we're moving the machine forward. To perhaps talking about the putting in 150 inspectors, 50 investigators, 150 investigators, 50 investigators per 1,000 sets of boots on the ground. And of course, that's somewhere that that's not a City of Cape Town province issue, that's a national government province issue. And we've already had a meeting, Minister Fritz and myself, with Minister Becky Claire, with his whole team, including the Deputy Minister and his team. They actually came to us. We had a meeting in my boardroom, and within days of that meeting, our team from here, from DOCS as well as legal services, went to Pretoria, met with their team, and there's another meeting coming up next week, the 10th. So you can see these processes are happening, and those decisions that are being made are going to have to land in the budget still, which happens in April. And those decisions that we're making in these teams around the safety plan will be going into those work streams, the MTEC processes, in the difficult process to say, if we want to put the 150 investigators, it's going to cost X, and then the education department's going to say, but hang on a second, we can't give up any money. And then we're going to have to, and that's the environment we find ourselves in. So here's the plan. I want to say, and it says it on the working document, because it is a main focus, it is a big drive, but it also works in a fluid environment. So, Chief, I'm not sure if you want to deal maybe with questions now, and then I'll go through page by page on the plan, or shall I just continue page by page on the plan?
Members, would you like to take in introductory questions on the Premier, or are we going to go page by page? Or Member Dagmar?
Yep. Thanks very much, Chair. I would suggest we have the presentation, but I just think that given that there are time constraints, I understand that we've got until 9:30 for this meeting. So, I mean, I think it would be, if you could just make a ruling or give direction about how much time for the presentation, how much time for questions, I think that'd be fine, but I think it makes sense for the Premier to go through the plan so that we can then note questions.
Okay, thank you, Premier. Yeah, what Member Dagmar said, I think page by page might be a bit, it's going to take us up to lunchtime if we don't have that time. Best if we can, some 4:15, maximum 20 minutes, if you want the HOD to give you 15 minutes.
So I'm going to try and do 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
We've got an hour that we can engage.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. So if you want to get it.
So, Chief, I can have a ruling. I've got a whole team here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like the...
The
only one in the show. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'll go page by page. I'll say a few words, but anybody can butt in at any time. And so, of course, you'll see here the working document, contents, introduction, talks to the safety plan, basing this implementation plan using data and technology. Because the one thing we can't do is we're doing something different here, but we also can't do something overall, overarching in a different way, but continue with everything else in the same way that we've always been doing things. Because this needs to be dynamic. It's new, and it's actually beyond the general normal mandate of provincial government. So you'll see there in the sort of middle, it talks about strategies adopted, talks about informed by evidence, and will be implemented using data and technology. So that's, we're still building that. We've got quite a lot of it already. In our existing system, for example, the police stats that we get versus perhaps our morgue stats. So if we're looking at murder, we know that there's a different correlation. A lot of our other crime stats, we don't actually have perfect correlations. But what are the other statistics that we need to manage? And specifically, because what we want to do is manage, halving the murder rate means focusing on those murder stations. So we all know that just under 50% of all murders happen in 10 police precincts of 151 police station precincts. You'll see here it also says must be read in conjunction with this with a strategic plan, the 5-year plan, and there's correlations going through the two, and because obviously this plan has got to be for the 5-year term. You'll see that it's our number one vision-inspired priority. It talks about, and that's the safe and cohesive community, so I won't go into the rest. Then, of course, it talks about the legislative policy framework, because we must do it within the legal frameworks, and that's why, for example, the boots on the ground has to be a partnership with a city, because the province can't put the boots on the ground. We cannot physically do that, but we do know that the city has got permission from national government in law enforcement to be able to implement those law enforcement boots on the ground, which is the stabilization unit, which was the pilot project in Botahill. They have the mandate given to them, and that mandate doesn't restrict the city to only be able to deploy in the city of Cape Town. They can deploy across South Africa, which is quite interesting, and that's the gap that we can use. So in actual fact, a law enforcement official in the city of Cape Town could be deployed to Limpopo if that agreement was reached between a municipality in Limpopo and a municipality of Cape Town. But what we're doing in the province is we're understanding that that relationship can exist across this province. So when I say data-driven, we've got to make sure that we're focusing on the 10 hotspots. Those 10 hotspots happen to be in the city of Cape Town. That's why that partnership is perfect. But if we see that Avian Park in Worcester is now having the displacement, which is already, you can see it, it's a problem, and we're measuring that data. We must be able to deploy between the city of Cape Town and other municipalities, Drakenstein or Winelands or wherever these issues are taking place, and the displacement happens. But obviously, everything has to be within the rules and regs. And the one area which I've just spoken about around the investigators, definitely in the national space, but already as we've spoken, there seems to be a huge willingness between Minister Bekele and Minister Fritz and the teams and our legal teams on finding a way in which we can actually fund, train and support investigators, because we can't have a 3% conviction rate, and specifically also focusing in the 10 hotspot areas. On page 4, and please feel free, notice that people are being a bit shy here. Here you see we speak about the actual data, the statistics which I've already mentioned, and it talks about those 10 hotspot stations. You can see them there. You can see the detail. And we've got to make sure that this deployment, first of all, I'm speaking about boots on the ground, and you'll see under 5.1 crime and boots on the ground. So this is talking about the deployment and where to deploy using data. And of course, using the example in Bontegevel at Delft. We've got the two pilot projects, learnings in both of them at the city level. On page 5, you'll see here also this carries on talking about the data, use of technology, micro-locations, specific times of the day, so it's not only spaces, these are the hotspot areas, but also how do we deploy depending on time of day, so that we actually are, and then measuring it continually. So these all have to be set up. Some of it exists, some of it still has to be put in place. On page 6, this talks about the investigators, and I've spoken about that. Our response, enhanced enforcement and investigative capacity, and that's the point that's happening now with the meetings that we're having with our national counterparts. But also at the same time, you'll see it talks about our traffic services. You would have seen that Minister Madikizela, and this is now I'm going to start venturing off into other portfolios. So Minister Madikizela has already launched Highway Patrol, so our traffic competencies being broadened. How do we be not only traffic bound, because we already have 500 officers that are deployed across the province in vehicles with capacity. How do we make sure that that actually gets broadened? In other words, as I always say, how do we? It's not just about the traffic official stopping someone and checking your license while your license is being checked, your boot is being checked, the data is being used on your vehicle. This is a suspicious person. This could have drugs in the boot. How do we use those that as a force multiplier within this bigger system? And then, of course, this section also talks about the private security teams and how. I mean, there's in South Africa we've got 200,000 police officers. We've got 500,000, actually more than 535,000 security personnel in the private sector space. How do we have those discussions? We had a meeting the other day with Business Against Crime South Africa, so they have very strong links at a national level, and now they're seeing how can we build these links at a provincial level and bring in the private security. And the agreement was that Business Against Crime South Africa, and we've asked that we have a look at how we interlink with our safety cabinet, so that even in the safety cabinet, it's not only the criminal justice system along with the provincial government and the city. How do we also bring in the private sector into that space, because it is about the whole of society. And then it goes on to talk about the 3,000, but obviously what we're focusing on now is the budget and getting the first 1,000 in place. I hope to get message back soon, and maybe this week someone can come in. I believe that the recruitment process of the first 500 is underway, because we need the first 500 deployed in February, and they have to be trained, they have to be in place this month. But of course the first step was the adjustment budget. Once that is finalized, then what happens, the transfer can get put in place, but they're already busy with the process at the city of recruitment, so that we actually get the first 500 of the first 1,000 starting now and then in February, so that by the end of that financial year we've actually got the first 1,000 in place. I'll then go on. I've already mentioned, I think, in this space the meeting with Minister Becky Clele on the 150 investigators, the first 50 as part of this 1,000 deployment. Then our approach on data led. I have actually spoken about that. I'll try and move on. The first action steps, this is now on page 10. Continuously building partnerships. The partnerships are both at a national level, at a local government level, with our neighbourhood watches and our CPFs. How do we make sure, and then the whole of society, it is about that full partnership. You'll also see here that last bullet point, map existing violence and crime data and information systems, determine the gaps in the data. For example, our traffic management system, number plate recognition, has already got partnerships with the private sector, but it doesn't speak directly to the Cyclops system or the SAP system in the city, the safety system. So how does that process get sped up so that we can actually get the data talking to each other that gives us the best data possible? Then we move on to reducing and preventing violence. So it's not just about policing, and this is how we actually roll it out into every single department. On page 12, you'll see there the socio-ecological model for risk factors in violence in South Africa. And you can see there, this is how it brings it all together. You can see from gender violence, witnessing domestic violence. So how do we, I started speaking about that young boy, But how do we intervene where violence starts? And I mean, these are difficult stuff, because in actual fact, most violence begins in the home, behind closed doors, which is not visible. How do we find those touch points? It links across the other side. You'll see there poverty and unemployment, gangs, spatial inequality. All of these things are components within building, understanding the ecosystem, and then putting together a plan that applies to every single department, every single minister and department having those priorities. Again, on the next page, it speaks a bit more against the flexibility and the adaptiveness. And this is going to be difficult for us because we put a five-year plan together. We have three-year budget cycles, and we have one-year programs with our measurements that go into our annual reports and our reporting system that we have to come back in our APPs to committees, but we've also got to be able to be flexible, and this is going to be difficult. I think there's going to be some challenges in the next year or two how our reporting happens, because we might say we want to do this, put a number to it, and then we find that in actual fact we're not having an influence, we've got to change. And so yeah, I think we're going to have an interesting ride, but I think this framework starts to put it together. So then highlighting, and this is where every single standing committee is going to be able to drill into even deeper areas, so strengthening families, I spoke about the 1,000 days, strengthening learners and educators' resilience to violence, school safety, reducing violence on school grounds, how do we empower our teachers, support educators who interact with youth at risk, that teacher who is on the receiving end of the abuse from that young boy, how do you empower that teacher? We, at the moment, we actually exit that boy out of the class. We need to retain the boy. We need to then be able to say, if this can't happen and we can't give enough tools to the teacher, we actually then have a different system that actually helps that young boy come back to playing a different role or a meaningful role in society. Strengthening the resilience of youth at risk. This, again, is multi-departmental, but Minister Fritz and this department of DOCS looking at the Chrysalis programs and the learnings there, and how do we expand those programs, how do we even go further on to finding a pathway for boys to men across the whole province, or, for example, what role does the Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport play, or the Social Development Department play, in understanding youth at risk. Building society's resilience to violence. This here you will see all different departments being spoken about here. Road safety, rural planning, rural safety, recreation and sport, and so all of these, the Department of Economic Development. How do we make sure that after Chrysalis you get a job, that you're actually seen as preference to employability? How do we improve? You'll see alcohol and the alcohol work that we've been doing over the last while. And again, Minister Fritz, how are we going to deal with alcohol abuse? And we've got to have more plans in that space. Emergency services. The time it takes to get an ambulance to someone who needs help. At the moment in the hotspots, it's a problem because ambulances go via police stations before they go to help someone in a hotspot. What are we going to be doing differently? Do we have a ghost squad supporting the ambulance? Are we putting security people on the ambulance? Is the CPF or neighborhood watch on call and available to meet on site when the ambulance arrives? Because that's actually when the difficulty happens, when the ambulance team actually goes in to deal with the issue, they're all, the household, the family, and the ambulance staff are all vulnerable just at that specific moment in time. How do we make that moment in time safe? Then you've got principles for implementation. This talks again through prioritizing interventions, monitoring of expected outcomes, and we've got to make sure that that is built into the plan, evidence-led implementation, and you can see that on page 17. Almost out of time. Data-driven, flexible and adaptive, I've spoken about that. Outcomes-based budgetary allocations, human-centered design. So you can see these are the kind of things that are built into this plan. Area-based approach, because we've got to be actually looking at the spaces in which this happens. Gender sensitivity. When we talk about budget, and maybe on that point with our last cabinet, we were, and of course gender-based violence is 16 days tourism. It's a big thing for us in the province. We've seen civil society really standing up. And just looking at our own programs and plans across this government, we spend 60 million rand a year, even more than 60 million rand a year on gender-based violence activities in this government. Minister Fernandez at the moment is busy mapping it, looking at every department, what they do, and the effectiveness of that 60 million rand spent. So within this plan, there are all these multi-layers, and you'll see on page 20, it starts to talk to every minister, the safety priority, the linkage through to the five-year plan, and each of their responsibilities. And I want to say to you that that of course we're now in the public open domain, but we are still, this is an organic plan. We are still, so for example, if I think about Minister Fernandez, we've got the number of households on which it's in this document. It's the 65,000, this one, where she's already got down to her measurement of 65,000 families visited. But for example, the 10,000 first 1,000 days in the health department, we're still in the process. We haven't got sign-off yet, because as I said to you, that happens through the next round of MTEC processes, landing and finalising it in those plans, aligning those budgets. So I also want to say, although this is an open public meeting, that some of these are not absolutely concretised because of the dynamic of space that we find ourselves in as a region around our budgets, because every single one of these plans have got to be laid and landed in the department's planning process, but it also has to be aligned with budget. So some of these numbers could change in the next 2 months, 3 months, as the budget and the actual plan gets aligned. But what I can say to you and say to the members of this committee, that in those discussions that we are having, there is less flexibility from a safety plan point of view to maybe some of the other plans, because we really are serious. We've made this priority number one, and I again want to say to the officials that are involved in the process, thank you very much, because there are many, many hours and many, many late nights in putting this together. It is massive, it is complex, it is across the whole of government and the whole of society, maybe I want to say it's bold, but it's also exciting, because you know that quite frankly there's so much pain out there, and we have to be doing something to change that. And now no one interjected and no one said anything, so I don't know if anybody wants to say a minute or two.
Thanks, Premier. Maybe just to latch on to what I said yesterday in our own standing committee, just around finalising, keeping the names around the budgetary provisions and where I think the country finds itself. But more importantly, I think is the issue that the Premier raised on page 16, 17 and 18, and the fact that this whole plan will be based on partnerships. So it's partnerships with the whole of society and also the whole of government. So we're not doing this on our own. There's a strong partnership with the city of Cape Town, and that's why you'd see even in the announcement that Minister Maney has made, that message is coming through. There's a strong partnership with the national government, particularly on SAPS, and then more importantly is to partner with communities and the private sector to start to take ownership. Myself and the team have already met with the with one of the major auditing firms as an example. And the idea is to ask the question, so how can big business and corporations help around this whole issue? Because safety impacts everyone. I mean, the fact that we have the trains burning today, the fact that people are being murdered, not getting to work, impacts on the economy. So instead of just taking your CSI money and you invest it maybe in a little project, let's all come together as a collective and put it all together and actually work towards one common goal. And that is safety. So not just only the private sector, your Premier spoke about the fact that every government department will be responsible for this. From an institutional perspective, there will be a safety cabinet that's dedicated only to look at this. And it's not only Western Cape government, but the entire criminal justice system will actually also be involved, and particularly our relationship with the national government, the SAMS, and all the other municipalities via the PCF and via the district coordinating forums becomes key, because we all work towards a common goal. And therefore, if you look at the plan, that's some of the underlying principles of the entire plan. And then maybe just lastly, Chair, I think what is also very important for this committee is the document that was tabled by Minister Meynier that actually sets out the framework for the allocations that's been made in the adjustments estimate, so the 130 million as an example. And what it does, it's in this document, it's in the cadet, and it actually complements the plan that's currently on the table, and everything will be supported by a proper business plan. There's proper governance oversight mechanisms that's in place. We're also institutionalizing, obviously, the issue around managing this whole thing. So there's responsibilities on the transferring officer, although it's at the departmental level. The report back will happen at an executive level through the safety cabinet. And there's also some responsibilities that's been placed on the receiving officer in terms of reporting, in terms of making sure that the training happened, also in terms of how we deploy the safety officers, and also how do we actually evaluate. And given the overlap in the financial years, you will also see, Chair, that some of the allocation gets made now, but it runs up until June, and then there will be further announcements that will complement what Minister Meynier has already said when he tables his budget during the month of March. So you can see, Chair, that everything is actually documented already, and as Premier has indicated, I think we're all ready to make this plan a reality and to actually create a safer space for all our communities. That's more or less what we all want to do as a collective in this space.
Just also to add that the drilling down, I think it's very important to have your high-level Premier coordinated and Premier-driven big project, but then it goes into the very specifics. And I think the Premier spoke about the collaborative approach, because I have a Monday morning meeting on safety. That deals with my apexes. You know there are four apexes of that I do with. The boots on the ground, the 150 detectives or investigators, the Chrysalis program that's been, the expansion of the Chrysalis programs, and then the last one is the boys to men issue that I previously spoke about. Those young boys that we want to capture, those boys are really on the cliff to save them. But I see, and every other department is having that their own meeting where they look at all this. We're now deciding whether we must continue on a Monday, but at this point we're saying it's important to have it so that we can see movement and so that the stuff can be done. I also met with the mayor yesterday around some of the cities, again gave me the assurance that this will be implemented. They will come with their budget that they may go, I think today or tomorrow, next week, making the final decision, and then they're taking it to the council, the big council. So I think it's a very, but I think Premier is emphasizing the dynamic nature of it, which in essence means this is not static. And I think yesterday in the portfolio committee, or the standing committee, it also came up the question of why did it center to the metro at this point. Tomorrow maybe George was violent there. I'm just making it, I think that's an important point to look at. But in the meantime, we still have those district approach that the president proposed. You see, we're actually carrying out a lot of national policy, but the whole president approach to district municipality driven projects, so we're doing that. That's in the meantime going on, K9 units going on in all those other municipalities. So I think it's an exciting space we're in at the moment. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
So much excitement here in this room, I can feel it. I'm going to hand over to members of questions, Member Philander, and then Member Dagmore, and Member Trotto.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning again. In short, this is indeed very massive and complex. My interest is the whole rural strategy. How does it fit in within the entire Western Cape plan? I think we can agree that we have most diverse communities, And if we talk about the whole of society approach, how will we empower those communities to buy into this plan? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Member Dagmore.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to the Premier and the DG as well as the MEC for their inputs. I think the first point to be made is that this is definitely a change from what we've had over the last 10 years. I think that there's always been a strong argument for the need for integration and the integrated approach being driven from the centre, which is the Department of the Premier. And I don't want to harp on the past, but I think the reality is that the last 10 years we have not had an integrated approach, and I think what is encouraging about this is the fact that there is an attempt to locate the strategy centrally in the Department of the Premier, and I think that is a step forward, which I think we do acknowledge and we welcome that. I think in terms of the outline, it seems to rest particularly on what is referred to as the boots on the ground and all those issues around 5.1, which are outlined, and then secondly, which I think is also is an innovation in the sense of what we haven't had over the last 10 years, is the second pillar, which is actually focusing on the more integrated approach about reducing and preventing violence. So I think, you know, that is a change, and it's very clear that we need to welcome that, that there is an acknowledgement that we need to integrate our approach, which I think has been lacking. So I just wanted to make that as an initial comment. And then I think, you know, the one question that relates to the first pillar, which is around the so-called boots on the ground, we're hearing of a commitment to 3,000 and initially the issue of the 1,000. And then we have these 10 particular police stations, and I suppose it's a very difficult thing to say, do you measure the impact and the success of this around reducing murders, whereas we know that if you use other measurements like issues of substance abuse, issues of assault, etc., you know, but I can understand that there's an attempt to focus on that as an indicator, although I think we should just acknowledge that there are definitely shortcomings, because clearly murder is a critical issue, but there are other indicators as well. So I think just the one, in terms of both boots on the ground, and I'd fully acknowledge the point around the rural areas, and you mentioned, Premier, the issue of Avian Park, which I think is a very good example of a rural community fundamentally affected by substance abuse and gangsterism. But is the intention here to really focus on these top 10 murder precincts? Because obviously that is where roughly half of the murders are happening, but obviously there's another half happening in other parts of the province. But the reality is that, you know, whether one then has a particular set of interventions for these 10 and then another set of interventions for the other areas. But I just want to establish, is the idea that these 10 stations are going to be the major priority, you know, and would obviously then see particular measures. Because if it comes to the boots on the ground issue, I just want to draw the attention of the meeting to page 6, and there under the footnote 5, under the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry, and then there's a particular reference there made to a fact sheet where the police human resource allocation model used by SAPS for deployment in the Western Cape was found December of 2018 to unfairly discriminate against black, African, coloured, Indian and poor people on the basis. Now, a lot of this strategy, the two pillars, the boots on the ground and then the integrated approach. Now, in terms of boots on the ground, if this issue could be sorted out, in other words, the allocation of police resources. So what I want to ask, in terms of the province's responsibility, in terms of the constitution around oversight, has the Western Cape Department of Community Safety made a firm proposal in regard to this issue, which is referred to in the footnote, the inequities regarding the current allocation of police resources? Because clearly, you know, you've indicated there's a meeting has happened with Minister Taylor and the Deputy, and we welcome that. But one of the ways of actually dealing with the boots on the ground issue is to get this formula right. The fact that the current allocation of police resources is not based on the issue of poverty and race. So I want to ask, because obviously if we sort that out, the issue of having to allocate 1,000 law enforcement officers, you know, that would be ameliorated because you would be getting that deployment of the police correct. So I want to ask, has this province made firm proposals around the current allocation of police resources and where they should be going? Because I think that can have an impact. And then, Premier, you referred to the fact that money is being allocated here to the city. The city is a key part, and there's a pilot in Bontier. And you said it's possible to deploy these law enforcement officers from the city to any other municipality. Now, could I just ask, in terms of what legal framework are you specifically referring to that makes that possible? Because clearly, if you then had to deploy officers to Breda Valley, then you. But I'm just not aware of in what is the legal foundation for being able to actually do that. And then my last point for now, I'm not sure if there's going to be time, but MEC Mania, in his speech yesterday, for instance, referred to the 130 million, and we discussed that in the adjustment, and then the 417 for 2021, the 350 for 21-22, and then 22-23, 400. Now, the elements of this plan refer to the boots on the ground, and then it refers to all the strategies around reducing and preventing violence. Now, but all that we seem to be hearing at the moment is resources going towards boots on the ground. There's no indication as to how much of this 1.3 billion is going to go into those strategies of reducing and preventing violence. And then what surprises me is that one of the clear indicators here, the socio-ecological model for risk factors, poverty and unemployment, and then when one looks at what the economic cluster is supposed to be doing, under ministerial responsibilities, there's simply a reference to upscaling uptake for Chrysalis and a focus on improving tourist safety. Whereas if you look at all these 10 precincts, Nyanga, Delft, Philippi East, Bishop Labour's Municipal, the economic issues there, the investment into entrepreneurs, the investment into infrastructure in these 10 areas, it just seems that one of the key contributors being poverty and unemployment, but there's no strategy yet in terms of actually boosting economic development, job creation, and transforming and supporting businesses in those particular these 10 precincts. So it just seems to me that that's a very narrow focus on the economy, given that unemployment is such a critical issue, and if one was able to deal with issues of poverty and unemployment in these 10 precincts, clearly that's going to have a ripple effect. So it just doesn't seem that there's a very clear focus on the economic development and the infrastructure development in these particular communities, which concerns me. And then the final point. So could we have a sense of the 1.3 billion? What is the average cost of training one of these law enforcement officers? What is the average cost of the salary, so that we get a sense of how much of the 1.3 is for boots on the ground, and is the other new money actually going to be invested in the second leg, which is the reducing and preventing violence, which goes along with infrastructure development, economic development in these areas.
Yes, thanks, and we welcome the presentation by the Premier and his team, and as well as the Minister. Mine is very short. Firstly, to understand how this plan is welcome from between national and province, because normally we would find tug of war between the two spheres of government that makes things very difficult to implement very beautiful plans to be implemented on the ground. And the second thing is that I just wanted to understand in terms of the Premier highlighting the issue of the need for an integrated plan between private and security. And is there any move, or is there anything in place that talks to that? In terms of that we could be able to understand, will they be part and parcel of the system, or what is the plan in there? What does the plan entail? And then lastly, is that I see the ministerial responsibilities, and of which they are very much beautiful. But there is something that, in terms of the Minister of Public Works and Transport, in terms of you've highlighted the serious challenges of youth that find themselves involved in gangs and all that, and then how would maybe the Department of public works in particular to ensure that there's facilities to especially to house youth that is vulnerable to gangsterism and drugs in terms of way forward.
Thank you, Premier. I just thought we'll just take the question. I think that's time. Member Regan Allen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll select two and then latch on in order for time. Regarding the comments regarding the criminal justice system, 2 days ago we heard on crime detection processes that close to 250,000 cases were sent to court, of which only 62,000 were actually resulted in conviction, which is obviously low. What is the engagement with the NPA steps in that regard in order to make sure that it's actually a deterrent to commit crime when they're actually sentenced? And then another one, we speak about reducing crime and understanding that it is gangsterism which is linked to drug abuse. I checked a parliamentary reply, confirmed there is roughly 23 drug dens that has been closed since 2014. It was shocking to hear that SEPS is aware of close to 2,000 drug houses in the Western Cape. So the question would be, in the discussions with the City of Cape Town, with SEPS, how many of those would be retail stock? Is there type of discussions taking place, and what bylaws can be implemented to actually close the houses down? Because if we know where it is, because that has a ripple effect not only in gang violence, but in young people then succumbing to the pressures of society. Thank you.
Thank you, Premier. I just have a few comments and then we can proceed. First of all, Premier, thank you very much for coming. Like I said earlier, I must say I'm very excited. And when you mentioned 500 people are being, the recruitment process is already on the way, I mean, that just hit me a limb on the heart. Because those are the messages that our community wants. It's nice to present a plan, but not a agenda. So, I mean, that is really exciting. I think that for me is the key that came out of this meeting today. There's 500 people, there's a process after the adjustment process, obviously, because you can't appoint people before there's money. There's 500 people being recruited to be trained, and they will be on the ground by the end of February, as you mentioned. I mean, that is, for me, the most exciting part of this meeting this morning, and I really I would like to encourage all members to take that back to their constituencies, that the plan has been submitted, it is a working document, the discussions at a national and provincial level is taking place, and at a local level of the city, and people are being recruited. So next year, March, April, or let's give it 3 to 6 months, there will be some change on the ground. I have a lot of questions, but time dependent, I'm not going to ask you, because that to me was the key. When are we recruiting people? And that you've answered at the beginning of the presentation, and thank you very much for that. And we will carry that message to our communities, and people must apply, so we can start getting the right people properly vetted, so that those that will jeopardize our communities don't come through the back door in the news, like we've seen, unfortunately. Some police officers are corrupt, some traffic officers, but the majority. And last point on that, we've seen that the highway patrol is already in place. So your plan is a working plan. And I just want to thank you from that perspective, and that's the message I certainly will take to my constituency and encourage people to start applying. I'm not going to ask questions, but I just want to leave you those questions, with those questions that have been asked, and please do respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm actually going to start at the end and work my way back. So I know that I had my own internal management meeting yesterday, and what was one of the issues about how many people are contacting me. So how can I play a part? How can I be recruited? So first, and I know that maybe someone can answer that. I know they set up a special, site to be able to allow this, but also to put down the rules. What do you need to be? If you want to apply, you must go. You can't have a criminal record. You must go and take a drug test. You must go and do a whole lot of things, and then you can apply. Then the question around the gangs, the drug houses, I can't answer that. But obviously those are the kind of questions that will be coming up in the management processes when we start to drill down. I think that's maybe, I don't know if Fritz can answer, but more sort of docs kind of update on our oversight on what's happening. But it is a big issue. I mean, people, you walk in, someone says to you, that's the drug lord's flat. The police arrive, and unfortunately, the person who just pointed out the flat starts throwing the same stone at the police because of the dynamic of the situation. Because if she's not seen to be throwing the stone at the police, then her electricity doesn't get paid. So this is a hugely complex environment in which we operate. And the same thing with the criminal justice system, but that's why part of the plan is moving from oversight to trying and doing different things. So if we have a 3% conviction rate, what are the blockages in the system? And you'll see that's part of the research that's gone in and said, well, how do we help with investigations? I don't know what the average, I mean, I know in our oversight document it says that the average investigator has 200 cases. And this is what I always repeat, 200 cases. And we should have a norm of 20 cases per officer to kind of get your work done properly. But I actually heard yesterday even a higher number than that, like 300, sometimes even 400 cases. I mean, that's just, it just blows your mind when you hear that. I think the point on the housing, you'll see that in not public works, but human settlements, part of their measurement is going to be looking at safety and design when they deliver human settlements. But the question, the way you asked it, whether public works are going to be dealing with youth, I'm going to say, as far as this plan is concerned, I'm going to say the answer is actually no. But in human settlements, their job is to make sure that they bring in design in human settlements for safety. So in other words, it's about lighting and about the positioning of human settlement development, how the windows look out of the house into the play area where the kids are playing. So that design actually builds safety over time when you're redeveloping. So that's definitely part of their measurement. But they've also got to be dynamic in the way that they do it, so they've got to be understanding what those pressures are. So I'm going to say no, it's not in here at the moment, but it could be something that would come up over time because, of course, one of the interventions is about how do we get young people to move off the crime path into a path that actually gives them an opportunity. The issue around the private sector, I mean, it definitely is key built in here. We have to build partnerships with the private sector. I mean, the easiest example is you have private sector putting security on this building. Then we've got a school next door which has different security looking at safety at the school. And then we've got a library next door which has different security. It doesn't make any sense at all. How do we build a partnership between where government's putting security in place with the private sector? We also, ourselves, buy, is it 800 million? It's about 800 million rand or 600 million. But we spend a huge amount of money with the private sector for security. So how does that also become part of the partnership? So it is definitely key. And then, of course, civil society. You know, the neighborhood watches, the CPF, what roles do they play? How do we make sure that it is the whole of society involved? And definitely national, provincial, local, all governments working together. When it comes to the money, obviously in putting this plan together and what I explained earlier, in putting this plan together, in government, you can't take over a government with an existing budget, bring a whole new plan, which includes the employment in this process of the first 1,000, without giving it the commitment over time, because otherwise it's going to fail. And that's why Minister Mania actually then talks about the allocation of numbers. That's why in our discussion, and I see the DG's even got the more in-depth spreadsheets. But in our meetings, when we have our meetings with the city of Cape Town, we've got to get down to the detail. So it's equipment needed, OPEX, general expenses, uniform and protective clothing. I mean, we've really got to go into support services, the training processes. It's seriously detailed. And you can't commit to a process of interviewing and saying we want to take the first 500 and then at the end of the financial year there's no money committed to the next year. Otherwise, we can't do that. So that's why, and these are the difficult dynamics in negotiating with and it's difficult even if you're doing it within your own government. We're doing it within our government and with other governments and other partners. So, for example, with the boots, we're doing it with a city, and so we've got to be able to give that clarity of pull-through. That's why we can give the clarity of 4130 now, 417-350. But over and above this, I want to also say, and Minister Fritz has mentioned it in his discussion with the mayor yesterday, and of course these numbers are now firm, they're committed through a process that's going to be debated in Parliament and hopefully approved in Parliament, and that is the final sign-off on these numbers and the adjustment and the commitment going forward. We also have to have those same agreements with the city, and they have got it in their processes of their adjustments and their next year, 2 and 3 years budgeting, also commit to the alignment because they receive this money. But I think more importantly, and I must really thank the mayor and the city, because in this process they are also committing money to it. And you know, this is the tough part about what we've been doing in the last few weeks. You've got a plan, you know what you want to do, and now you've got to fund it, and we don't have money because this is not a normal budgetary item. It is not as if we've also got to be cutting money, because we're cutting huge amounts of money out of our budgets because the tax revenue, I mean, we're 250 billion rand over the next 3 years short in taxable or projected tax revenue in South Africa. Our debt going from 4.4 to 4.2 to 4.5 trillion. I mean, and if we get a downgrade, the cost of that 4.5 trillion is going to go through the roof. Where's that money coming from? So you've got to make these commitments understanding the environment you're in. But the city's committed as well, and they'll get the finality on their numbers, but you're probably looking at about another 500 million that's going to complement our 1.3 billion in this component of the safety plan. So there's the first section of commitment of actual commitment of money in this. I mean, and then if every department has got commitments of money so that this whole thing then comes together. So I think that will answer the question around those numbers, because we have to put them in place when you're employing people and you're putting all of that resource in space. You've got to make sure that you have got that pull through and commitment, and we have to have those agreements as part of that city agreement. Then if we come to the law, I actually haven't got a number, maybe Gideon, but if not, we can actually get a copy of that piece of legislation. Maybe you can comment on that, on the piece of legislation. I know that the city made application to national government on this, on expanding the capabilities of law enforcement officers, and that is that piece of legal framework, but maybe Gideon can comment on it. Because we obviously have to operate within that piece of legal framework, and that was agreed to by the National Minister. When it comes to the question that was raised by the Honourable Doug Moore on the allocation of police resources, I absolutely concur with you. We know that not only the Khayelitsha Commission, the court case from the Social Justice Coalition concurs with what you said. And I want to say to you as well that I personally have had a number of engagements with not only the provincial commissioner that was before, or before the previous provincial commissioner, asking exactly that same question. When a court case says that poor and black communities are under-resourced from policing, why aren't you making the allocation? Why aren't you transferring those people? Now, I mean, I just can say I concur with you. We don't have the power in which to make these movements. But I will tell you that in my discussion on the safety plan with General Sithole, I said exactly the same again for the second time. I said to him, General, let's just take, and I'm telling you exactly the words that I used, let's take Camps Bay Police Station and Claremont Police Station and have a look at the active police officers. How do we redeploy those police officers to a crime hotspot? And how do you come to an agreement between the city and yourselves that we actually use law enforcement officers to man those police stations because they don't have the levels of crime that some of these other ones have? I said to him, come on, let's do it. We'll partner with you. We'll find ways to help so that we get that deployment to where it needs? Because that is the part of this that probably got me, I mean, you remember, I purposely took the position of community safety for 6 months before the election to get my head around this issue, because safety was this thing that was bothering me. In that period, I couldn't believe that we couldn't get the deployment changed, because surely that's the first principle of management. Where is the problem? Put your resources to fix the problem. And we're still not getting it right. But I think that then drove us to get to where we are today, to say, all right, and there's a number that's not being mentioned at the moment, and it's going to be really exciting as another phase, because maybe Minister Fritz can talk about this. Minister Fritz and our really drawing a line in the sand around the intergovernmental dispute between the national policing and us led to a further 1,000 police. Did you accept 1,000?
1,000.
We've got a commitment now for extra policing resources coming in. I bet Minister Fritz can talk about that. Because that's what bothers me, and that's why I will come to the previous question before that was about the 10 hotspot areas. There they are written down. If you walk into the Premier's media room, you'll see a flip chart. They're all written on the board up in the flip chart, because that's exactly where that deployment is going to take place. It's going to be deployed according to our statistics and our data if we want to shift the needle. Exactly the previous point. If there is high crime, we need to make sure the boots go to where the high crime is. That's got to be how we deploy these resources. And there must be absolute focus. I got a call in the week about a rural municipality who is not Worcester with Avian Park or Drakenstein with Chicago. Or there was another issue in a rural municipality. Can we please have the first deployment to our municipality of the 1,000? And I said, I'm sorry, no. The focus, and I'm going to say it again and again and again, the focus is on the 10 hotspot areas. That's where those resources have got to go. They have to go there. Because if we start changing our mind now, when we haven't even got them trained yet, we're going to be in trouble. And so the one thing, I want flexibility in our plan, but I also want focus that says we will deliver these to those areas because the plan says so. The flexibility will come after we've measured the impact. We've got to be able to do that. So I know that people, once those boots on the ground, I mean, it's going to happen. I know even in our own partnership with the city, they're going to be saying to us, well, we've got extra, so what about from our side and Minister Fritz and his mandate and the system and what the DG was talking about in the existing, and we're busy drafting the last of the business plan and the framework that gets signed between the city and us, that we and the province are involved in the decision making around the deployment, because we must focus. We can't, there are other boots on the ground that can be redeployed to other areas, and even continuing with that point and the point that was raised around rural safety. We've discussed this main point on every single PCF, so when all the mayors and the municipal managers come together, there's a component in here that's called talk to rural safety, but in exactly that same point, and part of the monitoring will be the avian parks and the Chicago's and other places that are at risk in the rural areas, but of course the safety plan and the boots, there's a slight difference between those two when it comes to roll up. But I've also said to the municipality, there is nothing stopping you also having your law enforcement trained differently. And maybe that's something else that I'm going to say here, and it's not fine, this is not agreed to yet, but it was part of a discussion I had with General Satoli on the issue of POPs, public order police. And we are way, way, way under-resourced in public order police. And General Satoli's idea to me was that how can they help us with training of municipal law enforcement officers to level 3 so that they can become public order policing competent. I mean, that was really welcomed in that discussion with him, because, and I think that those are the areas that we're really looking to build out the partnerships.
I think we must see the plan presented here is the one that's focusing on 10. But remember, there are other processes that's continuing to run. The rural safety plan controlled and run almost completely, but with our concurrence of our Minister Mayor. It's like really far advanced. The technical committee, our HOD and the HOD, they all serve on that. And part of that is to also innovatively look at how do we also increase capacity, law enforcement capacity, in those municipalities outside Cape Town? And let me give you a practical example. I think the Premier just made a very, very interesting point. We had unrest yesterday in Wittenberg. Now, Wittenberg police, and I'm talking about labor unrest there, you know, before it escalates to us, they dealt with it as a rural safety issue for the Department of Agriculture, who has their own safety component that must be reported into the safety secretariat. So the link eventually becomes that. I think it's a very important point because we're looking at law enforcement capacity. We're looking at the drone attacks, you know, the Bredevallei municipality, and why those attacks on trucks. So in that area, there's a drone, those are the drones. Now, how do we stop the damn thing from going continuing? That's where we bring the capacity that I think you're asking. So I want to assure our members here also, I think you also asked, that a rural, the very interesting question, I think you also asked the question, was how do we deal with, remember transport and public works was giving us the land at Crystal, they're giving us an extra piece of land, they're evicting those people who own horses who had for years paid 10 rand a year, they're now being evicted and they're giving that piece of land to Crystallis to continue with vulnerable youth. So I think the move is already there, it's on, it's moving. And I think that's the positive point about just the whole issue of how the departments all, everyone is coming to the party. I mean, every single one. And I must say, you know, our gender-based violence project with social development, that's feeding in and clear kind of directives that it's just not just now for 16 days. We have seen the massive murders of women and of children in this province. That we keep it on the momentum for 365 days. Every day must be a day against women and children abuse. And I think so I think those are really, really important. Remember, Regan, you asked the you asked the issue around drug houses, and I want to again say on the city level, there's a lot of collaboration with that. But you know, our process, the issue of getting people evicted. So you know the drug house. Apart from the police action, I'm talking about just getting the legal, it's almost a year to get someone from rental stock out. It's really frustrating. I really think we need to go and look at the law again, where the law must say, well, this is clearly indicated that there's a lot of people parked, you know, on the face of it, that this is a drug house. Everyone tells you this, that there must be a far quicker law to keep people out, so that we can claim back that space. And then there was also someone, just want to see, just on the drug also, so what we've also done in terms of the National Drug Master Plan, also driven by social development and local drug committees in every municipality, is also now targeting with us from the safety kind of component, those places that are deemed to be drug houses, so that from a local municipality with the police on that same, you know, all of them are forced to be by law on that. So at that level also to drive that point that you're making, but everyone knowing. The one point we need to just do is to secure people when they report these things. Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Thank you.
Mr.
Premier,
there was something that I forgot to answer. I put it on a different piece. The question around from Honourable Dugmore, around the economy and the metrics. So obviously when this plan was finished and put out, we actually had a Bosporat after that, and it was one of the definitely a different, or what I added to it, because it can't only be tourism safety and the Chrysalis the economy or the jobs post the Chrysalis process, it is exactly as you have said, and it's just got to still be put in here, is how does the economics department make sure that when you intervene in an area where you reduce the crime, that you actually bring the economy back in. So I mean, it is actually a thank you for that question, and it is actually a flaw in this document because it's part of that discussion. But I think maybe I want to just take this back to the how we, part of this is also linked to the MTEC process and what departments are building their plans and how it links through. But definitely we need to, and I've asked them to do a proper economic job strategy for the 10. We need to be able to move in and support economic growth. Then I've got, there was one other question around it. You asked a question around, we're using the metric of murders, but there are a whole lot of other indicators. And of course that I think goes to the beginning of the document. We're talking about how, what are those indicators? Are they smart indicators? Are they things that we can use? And I mean, CNEP and her team in the Department of the Premier around our data analytics are looking at how it aligns to the SAPS data, how it aligns to our oversight from the department itself. So, I mean, what do we use in halving the murder rate? We know, as I said at the beginning, that's the one very accurate number. Because murder statistics out of SAPS and murder statistics out of the health department in the process, that there's a direct correlation that came out of this document and the report from the Western Cape, Safer Western Cape, that was the summit that was held, really looking at those metrics and those different data points. But I also want to say to you that we haven't got the choices of what the other data points are. But they are part of the dynamic evolution, because it's not only what we're choosing in the measurement and at the safety cabinet. Remember, the safety cabinet, for example, Shauna Fernandes will have 64,000 will be her number, and then there'll be an arrow. It's either a green arrow or a red arrow. It might say 34 towards the 64,000. That might be our internal measurement. But the external, bigger data measurements that we're using to influence, we're still busy finalizing that, you know. I mean, because already, if you just take, we speak about gender-based violence, I mean, the rape numbers are totally out. They're nowhere near accurate. And so, you know, what are those metrics that those metrics will be used? But that will come, I think, in the evolution of the process.
I think we've really running out of time. Actually, you want to be quick, and then Mr. You need to respond to the, Ms. Morrison, to respond to the Act, and then the website, whoever's got the details where people apply. Those are outstanding ones, please. Thank you.
Chair, we'll deal with that. Just one issue from our side. The issue that was raised by a member, Philander, particularly in relation to the rural strategy as well as the whole of society approach. I mean, we can confirm that we're working very closely with the rural municipalities. In fact, between Minister Fritz and Minister Mayer, they're driving the rural safety plan. I mean, they've gone public on it, and they're really focusing on that as part of this entire collective, because agriculture is an important part of this economy, particularly given the focus on market excess from an agricultural perspective. I mean, we cannot allow some of these things to actually happen on our farms, and obviously it also risks the whole issue around employment. Yeah. It's particularly employment of the vulnerable and the poor. So the rural safety strategies actually underpins the broader safety plan of the province. Then in relation to how we work with the society as well as the rural municipalities, we have piloted the water approach in effectively three municipalities. So it's Drakenstein, which is semi-rural and a little bit of urban, also Saldanha, and also in the city of Cape Town. But in the city of Cape Town, we're working in Manenberg, we're working in Nyanga. So these are the areas that also forms part of your top 10 murder stations. It's actually a collective approach between the municipalities and the officials in our government. And if I talk about officials, it's actually the entire or whole of government approach
that we're following in those municipalities. And safety is a key thing that underpins. So we deal with the economy, we deal with safety, we deal also with issues of education, etc. And then maybe also just linking to the point that the Premier has made around some of the indicators. I mean, we believe if we address the issue on safety, some of the other indicators should turn. So therefore, when we table the provincial economic review and the municipal economic review on an annual basis, these are publications that informs us in terms of what is happening, particularly in an HCI space, and we will be tracking those things. And the issue around violence, the issue around crime, the issue around murders are key indicators to actually track, you know, from a human development perspective, whether we are making progress. So part of this whole data thing is actually track it on an annual basis, and then to allow things to be responsive. So if we see some things are not working, it's actually getting closer to some of these rural municipalities. Because obviously, if you deal with crime in a particular area, what you sometimes see is it actually moves around in, might move around in some other areas in the province. So our plan needs to be collective, and it needs to be a plan that everybody's actually bought into. And that's why we're making use of the PCFs and the DCFs to get that collective agreement. And then just the last point, what you will also see is that what will be different, with Premier Wendy when he tables, when he goes and, you know, do the state of the province address and tables the provincial strategic plan, it's no more provincial government strategic plan. It will be a strategic plan for the entire Western Cape province that's been bought in by all the municipalities, all the districts, so it's a collective. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morris.
The Chairperson, so the basis of the agreement would be the Intergovernmental Relations Framework, sections 35.1 read with 35.2d, the detail of which I think we'll answer more detail by basically saying that if two spheres of government or government in one sphere of work together, there must be an agreement between the two. So there's been a discussion also already at SALGA about if we can use the terminology cross-border support municipalities in, amongst others, land disputes and so on. And Chairperson, just also lastly from my side, is so the Equality Court is still ongoing, that ruling. We are party to the court-overseen mediation process. The police have put proposals on the table, so there is an ongoing process to see how it's possible for the police to deploy their resources where and when most needed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have the website? Is it so somebody sends it to us when whoever's got it, or where people can apply?
We can do that. In fact, there's an article been posted about 2 hours ago on IOL on this whole initiative. It's going to go to the council meeting of the 5th of December, and we will get the details from the City of Cape Town and exactly where people can apply and how they will go public on this matter.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate, thank you to the Premier and his team for coming and share the Safe Western Cape Safety Plan with us. It's really eye-opening and it's very refreshing, and I can see that we're going to make next year this time when we serve in this committee. We will talk differently about violence, youth, gangsterism, and so on. Thank you very much, Premier and team. Members, we will stay behind just to say a few words and make some recommendations going forward. Thank you. Members, can we, our time is limited, I know we have to prepare for other committees. Any recommendation or documents or requests from members? I see Member Doug Moore before I put my request.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think it's very clear that the questions around budgets were simply not responded to. There was no detail given, and I would like our committee to request from the Department of Premier and Community Safety to actually give us a budget breakdown. Questions around how much would be spent on a law enforcement officer were not responded to. Questions of what percentage of the budget would go for the boots on the ground, they just weren't responded to. So I would like us to ask that the Department of Premier provide that information to us.
But I would leave the Premier right off to you from his document. The uniforms, even mentioned uniforms will be bought. But you want the actual amounts. Okay, that's fine.
And I think it's sorry, Chair, in particular, I think we'd all agree that the plan rests on the two pillars, the boots on the ground plus the integrated strategies around violence. So to get a sense, I mean, what does 3,000 law enforcement officers actually cost, and how much is on going to be spent on the boots on the ground, and how much is spent on the other over the MTIF as the MEC for finance provider?
That's fair enough. Members, I've got some things that I'd like to propose as well. I would first of all like the comments to be kept up to date on once the transfer has been done and the process in the recruitment. So I'd like an updated report based on a quarterly basis. We'll invite the MF leader to the committee as well. The Premier seeing this plan rests with the Premier. And then we'll also, on a quarterly basis, request the impact of the plan. If you deployed, for example, 200 of those people to Mitchell's Plain or 200 to Yanga, what was the impact? And I know one of the measurements that the Premier has used was, for example, the halving of the murders. And I know Member Duckworth made some input on that, that should not be your only metrics that one used. But I would like a copy of that. And also just a status report of the minister's key priorities. We know we've got the first 1,000 days, we've got Chrysalis, we've got youth development. What is the status report? And we heard from the Premier that the highway patrol already started. Did they make an impact over the next 3 or 6 months when they were deployed? I'd just like this committee to be pleased, or even documents submitted to this committee. And yeah, there is my documents for request. Member Doug.
Chair, just another quick one. I think if we could, if community safety could provide this committee with an update of the equality court proceedings, he indicated that the South African police have made a proposal around the equitable distribution of police resources. If we could actually get a copy of what that proposal actually is, I mean, in relation to the current deployment of resources.
That's fair. Thank you, members. Members, I would just like to make another recommendation that we, Member Duckworth.
Yeah, it's just an entry closing, but I just want one point under general.
Okay, I am closing, so you just
Chairperson, I think you're aware of the fact that both yourself and me, I'm not sure whether any other members of the committee were copied in this, but you've received formal correspondence from a certain Mr. Hampton around issues in Knysna and about the Premier. I would just request that that correspondence does get circulated and that we place it on our agenda for our meeting next year.
Thank you, Member Duckworth. Member Duckworth, I have sent Mr. Mike Hampton another email to Upfront to ask him to outline. And one has to be, because remember, if anyone is going to throw random recommendation at any members of this committee, for whatever matter, it needs to be clear and specified. I've sent him another email. I think he forwarded it to you last week. Or Monday afternoon, I see his response, and then I reply to him, sisters, tell us so we can decide of this committee what's in our mandate. So when we take matters in our mandate, I mean, his allegation, and then he referred me to a book. I mean, it's surely not the responsibility of members of the South. Somebody publish a book. I mean, there's Gangs of State out there, there's the book of PE, there's the City book out now. And I ask him, please be specific, what is related to the Premier? Because for me to go into matter related to a mayor, former mayor, and that's not within our ambit, and he has not responded. I saw this morning there was another email, and he really becomes personal in his attack. I've never met the man. And I just feel if he's clear, we'll definitely submit to this committee, but he has not responded. He just started attacking me as person. I'm part of a cabal now. I mean, it's unacceptable.
But, Chair, what is the procedure if you as chair receive correspondence? I mean, I take your point about you wanting to give clarity, but surely it's a question of just at least informing the other members of this committee of the correspondence that has been received.
Yeah.
However the committee then deals with it is another matter. But it is formal correspondence, as I understand it.
Yes. It is formal correspondence, and I ask him to clarify what you want to bring to this committee. Because to bring issues of a mayor, or former mayor of Knysna to this committee and saying this one is part of this cabal, the national, the president ignoring, the judges ignoring, he's under personal attack from everybody. I mean, you have to be fair and reasonable in how you deal with the response. Because if the president rejects you, the judges have rejected you, surely there cannot be the whole world can be against you. So I just ask him to clarify that, and so that we can take that matter and bring it to this committee, and then ask us members of this committee can apply a month. Right now, he's just throwing up random things, and then he's starting attacking me up. He's going to include me in his next book just because I'm, it's just not, it's just just quite bizarre, actually. So as soon as you responded, that now we'll formulate, I'll send it to the members of this committee as well, but I just wanted to, as this committee, that we do take these matters seriously, which I do, but you just need to be specific. Because anyone from this matter can just throw names against any members of this committee and expect it to be formally tabled in the committee, which is unfair to any member of this committee. And I will not let any member of this committee be treated like that in Parliament as well. That it needs to be specific, needs to detail, and then we'll take those allegations and we'll take it forward. But just to randomly throw people and threaten, if you don't respond, you're going to publish in my next book, it's just absurd. Members on the matter of the safety committee, the safety plan, I just wanted to, for the record, that we as a committee welcome the safety plan as tabled, and that we will work with the Premier because we understand the issues and we will provide oversight. We'll monitor this process as it goes along. Does members have any objection to that?
Chief, could we just say the wording that we welcome the presentation? We welcome the presentation.
We welcome.
Because it implies that, I mean, the Premier himself has indicated that, you know, this, you know, that they are...
It's a working plan.
Yeah, you know, so I think we just welcome the working document, not the safety plan, because I think there's a big debate about whether this is a plan or not. I think it's a strategy. So I would prefer if we welcome the working document and the presentation.
We welcome the safety strategy and the presentation. Yes. We welcome the safety strategy. The standing committee welcome the safety strategy as presented by the Premier, and we provide, working with the Premier's department as our normal oversight responsibilities, to make sure that we hold executives to account. Any objection? No objection. Thank you, members. This meeting is adjourned.